comics and games to movies and TV. This is The Nerd Show on 1310 KFKA. Nerd Rage. Now here are the nerds.
Happy Nerds Day, everybody. You're listening to The Nerd Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. We have Nick, Scott, and Micah about to get nerdy with you. We are also known as...
Darth Monger.
Darth Ambivalous.
Darth Harmonic.
So let's get nerdy.
Yeah. What do you want to talk about first?
Oh my gosh. I think Ahsoka trailer, because that came out last Tuesday, which was the day after we recorded our show. And yes. I've watched that at least 8 times.
Did you cry?
No, but I got goosebumps. Do you guys call it goosebumps or goose pimples?
Goosebumps.
Yeah, same.
Who calls it goose pimples?
Weirdos.
Yeah, I agree.
But it's common. I grew up in the Midwest. It's common. But wow, the Ahsoka official trailer has dropped. That's coming out August 23rd. And in addition to all the awesome pretext we get to that show, we got to see, for the first time, Grand Admiral Thrawn's face.
Yes. Which, we already knew the actor that was doing it. And so it was kind of a question of going, how much are they going to do from a prosthetics, and how much are they going to do with that? And they didn't do a lot.
No, and I will say I was excited to see his face, but a little disappointed.
So was I. I felt like that he needed to be thinner and needed to have a little bit different bone structure, you know, than what the humans do. And that's kind of in the whole concept of the...
Are you fat shaming him?
No, I'm just saying that in, you know, in the books and in the comics and things of that have come out around Thrawn, and even in Rebels, yeah, the character is much more... He's more slender. He's taller. I mean, there's
chiseled, chiseled face.
Yeah,
sorry,
I like that.
If
term.
You will,
are you short shaming?
Chiseled.
No, would you stop it? No, but I'm just saying that.
Did no one hear my pun? Chiseled.
Yeah, well done.
Okay, swinging a miss there.
Yeah, a little bit. So, I think those of us, and I think it's kind of similar to what we experienced the very first time we saw live action Ahsoka. Mm. We have built up. We've seen this character in multiple iterations, and the live-action Ahsoka just didn't quite match with what everybody thought Ahsoka should look like. And we're seeing that in the new series with, you know, her headtails getting longer and some of those other things that we were expecting to see. And so I think it'll be an iteration, but I would have liked to have seen that closer to the imagery and the elements that we had been kind of led to believe that Thrawn looked like, as opposed to, you know, what we're seeing. Not horrible, just not...
Does it come down to the voice, though? Because one thing that's so recognizable, I think, from Rebels, because reading the original Timothy Zahn trilogy with Grand Admiral Thrawn's introduction, we got to hear that voice for the first time live in Rebels, which is canon.
Yep.
And I thought it was perfect for what Thrawn is. Very calm and calculated, no matter what the situation. But we have yet to hear, and it's the same actor.
It's the same actor.
So we can assume the same.
Yeah.
But we haven't seen that yet in a trailer or in an episode.
Right. And it wouldn't surprise me if we don't even hear his voice for the first couple episodes.
You know, so the big debate now, we know Ezra's coming back. We just see him on the hologram. We see the Purrgil in that trailer, which, if you remember back to Rebels, and if you haven't seen them, it is a 4-season fantastic series that builds up a lot and actually helps to answer some questions you might have from The Last Jedi of, why did Leia become Mary Poppins? Well, Kanan survived a blast out in space, and they were always concerned about fuel consumption.
And it's still really stupid.
It's actually one of, I think, the greatest series that has come from Star Wars from the cartoon perspective.
Mary Poppins.
Oh, okay, yes.
Yeah.
Thank you, Micah, for clarifying. So that might answer some questions, but also get you prepped for all the characters we're going to see. And of the side-by-side I saw imagery on social media since, I think, and Scott and Micah, counter with who you think is the best. I think Zeb is the most accurate from cartoon to live action, from a Chopper perspective, from a Thrawn perspective, from an Ezra perspective, from Sabine and General Kenobi. No. Oh. Shoot. What's her name? Twi'lek.
Oh.
Hera.
Hera Syndulla.
Yeah. I think that Zeb looks, I won't say the most alike, but the best as far as live action.
Well, to be fair, Zeb's CG.
In Rogue One? Or not Rogue One. Mando season
in the Mando.
Three.
Yeah, in Mando season 3. I mean, you're seeing a CG element of that, which they're allowed to take a lot more liberties than you would be with an actual actor or actress in, you know, in costume. And so I think that's where that comes from.
Do you find it surprising that we haven't seen Zeb in any of these trailers for Ahsoka, considering it's Ghost Squadron we're going to be reconnected with, and we saw a glimpse of Zeb in Mando, but not this Ahsoka series?
Not necessarily, because if you haven't seen Rebels, then you don't really understand that those all go together, and I think that's okay. I think we're seeing the primary main characters that we need to see, especially for this first season, because it's going to focus on Ahsoka, it's going to focus on Sabine, it's going to focus on Hera, and so that's really what we're doing. And then we're dealing with Thrawn. So I think, I don't want to say Zeb's a secondary character, but Zeb's going to be a secondary character in this, at least in the first season, I would expect.
There's a lot of things missing. So if you heard last week's episode, and if not, tune into that and check it out on Spotify, iTunes, wherever you listen to us after we air, of the child of Sabine and Kanan, mm-hmm. who we didn't see in this trilogy, but in this, I'm all excited for
in the trailer.
In the trailer or any of the stories leading up to it, other than the Lego set that we see.
Well, we did see him in the very last episode of Rebels.
Yes.
In the cockpit. And that was part of the conversation, that his hair was green in the Rebels series. But the Lego set that dropped had him with brown hair. And so it'll be interesting to see what that fleshes out and what he will look like and if we'll get introduced to that. I'm still struggling with the timeline and the timeliness of all of that, because unless he ages faster than a normal human, his age is going to seem out of context.
Which we don't know yet, because Twi'leks and humans have never been able to reproduce, as Scott mentioned last week on the show, or was that off?
No, that was on the show. Yeah, we did talk about that.
But coming into this latest, you know, Ahsoka trailer, what we're going to expect. I'm giddy with excitement. August 23rd, the countdown has already begun. We get two episodes to start. Are we teased? Because a lot of times these trailers hint at what happens the first couple episodes. I don't know if I'm entirely convinced we're going to see Thrawn or Ezra, at least Ezra in live-action form, other than that hologram that Sabine has. Do you think we're going to see them at all, or are they building up to something bigger for this first season of Ahsoka?
I think we'll see them in there. I think everything that we've seen, if we don't see it in the first two episodes, we'll see it in the first 2 weeks, so in the first three episodes. Mm. I would say 90%+ of what was in the trailer, we're going to see in the first 2 weeks of the series kicking off.
Let's go back to the we have a couple minutes left in this segment. The last thing we have is Ahsoka hinting that she was once training Sabine, and Sabine saying to her master at one point. There is a lot of activity on Twitter, obsessed and upset that Sabine might be a Jedi. But, Scott, do you think she is a Jedi or something different?
I think she is just training to be a warrior, and that's it. Because if you remember in the trailer, the one gal even says, oh, wait, you don't even have any powers.
Yeah.
So I believe that that is an accurate assessment, and I like it because it means, no, she's not a Jedi.
And Kanan was training her to use the Darksaber.
Correct.
When she had it in the Rebels series.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't mean you can't trade as a swordsman.
Correct.
In this. I'm so intrigued. I cannot wait for Ahsoka, August 23rd. Stay tuned for more of The Nerd Show. We're going to get nerdy after this. Welcome back to The Nerd Show, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA in the Aloe Fiber Studios in Central Town, Greeley.
You know, it'd be interesting if we had a bottle of Pappy Van Winkle 23-year sitting here on the table that we were able to sip on in honor of the most recent Secret Invasion episode.
Do any of us have $5,100? Because I looked it up. And it's $5,100.
He was not lying when he said a 5,000 bottle of bourbon. I don't think it's worth that, but, you know.
Okay, so if it is $5,000 approximately, that thing should not only get you drunk, but it should give you superpowers.
Yeah.
Or a lightsaber, because that is ridiculously
overpriced.
It's all
about supply and demand, and we could go down a whole rabbit hole about cost and familiarity and demand of that, because... You know, there's people that
Scott's been there. Scott's been there, and
I've been to Buffalo Trace. I've tried Pappy 23 before, and I would not pay $5,000 for a bottle of Pappy 23. I'd love to have one in my bourbon collection, but I wouldn't pay that much for it.
Would you pay?
I'd
$4,280.
No. You know, I'd probably pay $600-$700 to have a bottle of that, just out of the nuance and nostalgia for it, but not.
But remember that 5,000 is likely secondhand. So
yeah,
bottle of Pappy Van Winkle will say what the Rip Van Winkle is retail.
It's not even that. I think the 10 year retails are about $60. That's MSRP,
and that's if
you could ever find it. The 12 is like maybe $114. The 15's like, I don't know, $150, and then the 20 and the 23, if you can find it retail, they're maybe $150, $200 a piece. So, you know, there were times 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago you could walk into a liquor store and you could buy it right off the shelf for list price, and you could do
Pappygate,
and then Pappygate happened.
If you've not seen that, that you know, we're sidetracking.
Wait,
just for
what's
a moment.
Pappygate?
Pappygate is a fascinating true story in the 20-teens that happened at Buffalo Trace of thievery of the exclusive bourbons that you have, Pappy Van Winkles,
the Eagle Rare, the Colonel E.H. Taylor,
and kind of stealing barrels of them, and most people in that town being involved, police, sheriffs, mayor, and such, and it came down to, I think, an FBI investigation that cracked down on...
Well, they knew that there was thievery going on, and reality was a neighbor called because they saw that there was a whole bunch of wooden barrels on somebody's property, and the FBI or somebody showed up to look at it and literally found this guy who had been taking bottles and barrels out of the Buffalo Trace distillery for weeks, months at least, and was making money hand over fist because he had found a market that people were willing to pay a ridiculous amount of money for this bourbon that he literally could walk through the production facility where he worked and take a bottle left and right, and very few people said anything about it. So
basically, he is the reason why it's so expensive now.
He is part of the reason.
Is aged.
It is aged, and that
the 23-year one, which is what they said in
Secret Invasion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that one's like
it's aged for 23 years. Yeah, and so you think about the taxes that have to be paid on
every
a barrel
year.
Of that, and when you're thinking about bourbon, when it goes into a rickhouse, it goes in at 50 or 53 gallons in a 55-gallon barrel. And when something ages that long, there's a high probability that you're only going to have 15 or 20 gallons max when it comes out of it. And you've been paying taxes on the 50 or the 53 gallons it went in for 23 years. So you're in a world of hurt if you get a very small amount out of that barrel after 23 years. So, yeah, you're price is going to be significantly higher than a 4 or an 8 or a 10-year bourbon, but just funny because
it comes down to where you can find it, and if you find it, if there is a secondary market, which shipping alcohol across state lines is illegal.
No,
and unless you have to have like
there
a
are distribution,
but
I get
like
stuff
individually.
You can carry stuff across state line if you want.
Can you pack up and ship, though, across state line?
Well, you can't mail it.
That's what I'm thinking.
You cannot mail it, but there are other ways that you can do that. Like, there are organizations that do have a license to be able to ship alcohol. You know, you think about you know, all the other places that do it, the wineries that
do it. The distribution. Yeah. But as me as a person, if I came into a Pappy 23 and said, hey, you know what, older brother, I want you to have this. I could not just slap a USPS label on it and ship it.
No, you could not. But you potentially could go to somebody who can mail alcohol and work with them in order to ship it.
Sure. But that's why that becomes so expensive, because you are on that secondary $5,000 market because it's so exclusive and so rare. But anyway, Secret Invasion, we go back to the $5,000 bottle of Pappy 23. What's going on in Secret Invasion?
Well, I think specifically around the Pappy, he was trying to convince Rhodey, who we now know is a Skrull. Which
I figured that from the beginning.
I kind of did too, just the way he was acting and the way he was. Well, this is supposed to be, so it's a couple years after
the blip.
After the blip.
Endgame? The blip.
After the blip. So we're
before Endgame.
Yeah, so it's before Endgame. No.
It's after Endgame.
It's well after Endgame.
But the blip happened 5 years before Endgame.
Right. And then, no.
This is after the blip.
The snap happened 5 years.
But that's what they call the blip. Oh, so the blip is
They reverse it. So when Iron Man snaps and he brings everybody back, that was the blip.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. So they had the, you know, Thanos' snap. So you had the snap and then you had the blip. And the blip is when everybody came back. And so they're saying that, you know, Fury is not himself. But, yeah, the way Rhodey has been presented, and I love the acting that Don Cheadle is doing in this, because he's himself, but he's not himself.
Hmm.
And so the whole point of the Pappy was for Nick Fury to get Don Cheadle, a.k.a. Rhodey, a.k.a. a Skrull, to drink it. And it was a liquid tracker.
Interesting.
Because he was like, is it poison? And he's like, no, it's not poison. And so they're drinking it. But it was they were using it to try and track Rhodey because they knew something was going to go down. And
Rhodey was trying to assassinate the president.
Yeah.
So, and I haven't watched the series yet, and I don't mind spoilers at this point.
Oh, don't worry about watching the series.
Well, I'll get this here. How does this change the Marvel universe with Skrulls and, you know, impersonating others, especially Avengers? And how do you know when they're good or bad? Because we had that in Captain Marvel. There are good Skrulls and bad Skrulls.
Well, that's what this whole thing is working out, that we find out that when, you know, during the Captain Marvel movie era, when she originally shows up, we find out that they're good and they've been living among us for the last, you know, 30 plus years. And some of them are fine to stay in, like, captivity or kind of stay in the shadows. But what they're learning about human beings is we're horrible beings and that we're going to destroy ourselves. And the very best thing that could happen for human beings is to be able to come together as a united front against a common enemy. And the Skrulls see themselves as being that.
As a common enemy or the person?
As a common enemy.
Really?
Yeah. And so Talos is thinking, no, they're better than that. I think we can coexist. I think we can work. And a large faction of the million Skrulls that are currently living on the Earth disagree with him. And so they are looking to try and help the human being, like, self-eradicate. And so they are literally stirring up these conflicts that the U.S. and the Russia think they're out to get one another. And in fact, it's actually this Skrull terrorist organization that is creating all of these elements.
It's like a Jack Ryan series in Marvel.
Only it's not really that good.
Yeah, I have been a little bit disappointed in it. I mean, I talked last week about my frustration that we have all the Star Wars and the Marvel characters that are all intermixing. And we have, you know, Emilia Clarke's in it. You have Ben Mendelsohn in it. You have, you know, Samuel Jackson in it and things like that. But now we're running into, we have super Skrulls. So now, even though the Skrulls are extremely strong and they are much stronger than a human being is,
they magic science themselves stronger.
Yes, they figured out a way to make themselves even
like
bigger.
Captain America of Skrulls?
Yeah.
So this is, instead of Captain America's ass, it's the Skrulls that they're all.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. It's just kind of odd where, I think Mike is absolutely right. It's not that great.
Well, we're going to come back after this break and talk about a lot of announcements of cut Marvel and Star Wars projects from Disney and how this might all relate. So stay tuned, and we'll dig in deep after this break. Welcome back to the Nerd Show. We just got done discussing the trailer of Ahsoka.
I think we spent more time talking about Pappy Van Winkle than we did.
We did. And then
Secret Invasion.
Pappy Van Winkle is more exciting than Secret Invasion.
Yes.
The science behind it. So an interesting article came out today of some potential cuts to Marvel and Star Wars.
Oh, it's not potential. It's going to happen.
Now, we've heard a lot of things, or we've seen a lot of things as far as Marvel shifting and projects being delayed. And, of course, these accusations against the person who played Kang, the Conqueror, has shifted their plans for this next phase. And you know, it was probably months ago, we talked about how one person's actions can really influence positively, mostly negatively, the direction of a series, or in this case for Marvel, a phase. And of course we saw that in Star Wars, where Carrie Fisher passed away when she was supposed to be kind of the main focus of Episode 9 from the very tentative loose quotes there plans, and of course she passed away beforehand. But Marvel's not quite taken off since Endgame. There have been some good movies. For me, it's The Ten Rings. I liked The Ten Rings.
And Spider-Man.
Spider-Man was great. But not much since, as far as TV shows and movies. So some things are on hold, and I confess I didn't read the article entirely. I read the title and scrolled a bit. No pun intended from the scrolling we were talking about earlier. But Star Wars, too, might have some things in the chopping block, which is interesting because of all the hype that Ahsoka's getting. Grand Admiral Thrawn, everything with the Mandoverse that Favroni and Favreau are creating. But we look at what we talked about last week with Indiana Jones, and I would say the tanking of that project. And looking up, since we've spoken last week, the budget for Indiana Jones, $400 million. But that does not account for the marketing and everything else that goes into it. So basically what the statistics say is you have to make double what the production costs were to break even. So we're looking at $800 million. I don't know where Indiana Jones is today, but they're nowhere near that. Micah looks like he's looking that up now. But so what does this do with Disney? Because Disney's the overseeing umbrella of Indiana Jones, Lucasfilm, Star Wars, and Marvel. And, of course, a Disney project that was a big flop, which was Elementals. And that did not perform well in studios. So what's Disney looking at now, especially covering all these mega fan clubs?
You know, I think that we are seeing the results of a real shift post-COVID, where people who really love going to the movies like the fact that they could go back and start going to the movies. But everybody else went, I'll just wait. I mean, we were laughing about it right before we came on air today that we saw a commercial for the new Transformers film, which has literally been out in theaters maybe a month, if that. There's already advertisement. I'll figure out how to get it on digital now. Mm-hmm. And so I think what we're going to run into is we're going to see some of those aspects where the entire market is going to have a reset. I think it's sort of almost like the housing crisis and everything else that we saw in 2008, and we're kind of dealing with it a little bit right now. We're kind of in this post-bubble environment, and I think, you know, studios are going to have to figure out what is realistic and from a marketing standpoint, and I think that there's going to be some significant cost-cutting, even from a salaries and a budgetary perspective, that are going to go into these films, because you're just not going to be able to get the audience that you once did showing up at the movie theaters for the first 3-4 weeks to see the film.
Gross, United States and Canada, and 145 million worldwide, 302 million.
Yeah, so it's way behind, and there's no way it's ever going to catch up to that. So
maybe sales.
No.
I mean,
no one. And I'll confess,
merchandising?
I used to buy the Blu-rays, especially that. What was that? The steel book that you can get from Best Buy for some of the movies, but I don't have a DVD player hooked up to my TV anymore. I just don't. It's all streaming. Now, when we go into streaming, we're across this writer's strike, and most recently last week, the actor's strike, which goes largely to the compensation for streaming, but also, and we touched upon, AI.
Yeah.
And there was a great interview, I won't say great, there was an interview that was talking about, okay, so the strike is underway, 150,000 actors and other folks, just last week alone, not including the writers. Could AI be the future for smaller production studios to cover that and to produce things now where those mega studios can't because of the writers and the actors? And what does that look like for the future of AI and storytelling?
I think that we are not going to see that happen.
Well, and I think some of the I agree with you, but I think some of the smaller studios don't have unions. So maybe some of the smaller studios can get around this.
Oh, it's not necessarily around it. If you're not working with an SAG writer or actor, you can do whatever you want. But AI has kind of taken off.
It's taken off, but it's not there yet.
No, and I will get I'll let you know when I have trouble sleeping. I'll get caught on those Facebook reels and scroll through, and a couple of them, you know, the first AI alien invasion movie, part one, you watch for 6 or 7 minutes. I don't know how many parts there are. And they're tacky. But people are already working on that. And it's already uploaded to, well, the interwebs. Where is that going to get momentum during this time? And I guess what does that look like for future actors? I mean, look, we've had Princess Leia kind of re-digitized or so to play that role, I use in quotes, for Rogue One. Same with Grand Moff Tarkin.
Mm-hmm.
What happens when an actor dies and AI is as such where, oh, we can continue doing Top Gun movies or what's Tom Cruise doing this year? Mission Impossible movies, because we have the likeness of him and we can dub this over.
Well, you're going to have to make sure that you don't sell your likeness. There's going to have to be, if you join a movie, you make sure your likeness is not sold. Your digital likeness is not sold.
And that's part of what was in some of the contract negotiations that was being presented. And I'm trying to find the article, and I wish I could find it, but there was actually an individual that was quoted recently that said that was one of the big things that started to come out of this, you know, with the screenwriters and then a SAG got involved as well, is that there was a push for some of the lower level, the lower paid actors and talent to agree to the new contract that gave the contractee or the contract, be the contractee, the rights to digitally scan and utilize an individual's likeness after a single day's work. And so where it was sort of leading was that we can hire an extra to come in for a day and walk around and do all the screen cap stuff, and then we can tell them, thanks, we no longer need you, and then use generative AI and use some of the data that they had to create the rest of the content around this individual. And it really kind of started to get people to go, no, this isn't going to work. And one of the counterarguments is that you lose the emotion out of the AI, because even generative AI, all you can do is work with what you currently have in place. So the original thought model isn't quite as there as it was. But really, it came down to that big element of, if you can scan my likeness and then you have the right to use it in perpetuity, I lose my value as a human being, as a writer, or as an actor. And I think that we miss out on the human aspect of creativity and movies and art and all the other things. And so I'm completely on board with this concept. And I like the idea that they are fighting against it, because I don't want to see it in movies.
I was going to ask, like, maybe as a nerd show, do we have an opinion? I'm for the strike, and it sounds like Scott, you are too.
Absolutely.
Micah, what are your thoughts?
I'm for more transparency on the side of the studio and for not using AI for certain things.
There you go.
I don't know if that's a nerd show stamp of approval for the SAG strike.
I think it
strike.
Is. I think it is.
Micah, let's put it out there.
It's a yes and no.
Let's put it out there. A nerd show stamp of approval for the SAG strike, the writer's strike.
Yeah.
Nerd Show stamp of approval.
We support.
Yes.
Well, stay tuned for more of the Nerd Show. We'll be right back after this break. Welcome back to the Nerd Show, 103.1.
Yeah.
Why was I thinking 9? I've done that before. And 1310 KFKA in the Aloe Fiber Studios.
Hang on a second. I got a bone to pick with you because we started in the last segment talking about, you know, the different things within Disney that needed to be cut. And then we got completely sidetracked on, you know, AI, which is fine. But you were talking before the show that, you know, there's this whole big thing that Disney's cutting and they're going to cut budgets and all these things are going to get scaled back. And you're like, well, not Star Wars because it's great, but everything else needs to go. So,
yeah, Scott, our script is written by AI, so I'm just adjusting to what's being done.
No, it's not.
Yeah, I recall your text. What?
I was sassy.
Star Wars. It's Marvel that sucks. And yeah,
I don't think I said sucks. Maybe I did.
I'm waiting for the replay.
I agree with you on that. Marvel, I agree that Marvel.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. Why Star Wars? !! Marvel is the one sucking! !!
And you're right. Marvel has had its major issues, but
major issues.
This gave me a thought.
That's first of all dangerous for Micah to have a thought, but you're gonna go with this, Micah. But you said in that next text, Lucasfilm includes Indiana Jones. This article didn't say Lucasfilm from the title that I read, so I will say I was one of those people.
You were. You jumped to a conclusion.
Well, Indiana Jones, Indiana Jones is done.
It's but Lucasfilm
includes Indiana Jones, it so does. They have to cut mm-hmm. Star Wars.
But
somewhere.
We're still they're looking at Disney though. Is this so, Micah? You're up with the hot mic on your thoughts.
Well, what I was thinking was, instead of saying what in Star Wars sucks or what in Star Wars is good, well, wait a minute. What projects have they been putting money into that aren't really useful? I mean, first of all, let's start off with The Mandalorian. The Mandalorian, we all love.
Useless. Oh, yeah.
The
absolutely.
Mandalorian yeah. is loved by not
Scott's
just...
look at me was priceless. He looked at me with death in his eyes. I'm just kidding, by the way. I love it.
It's loved by Star Wars fans, non-Star Wars fans.
No, I think it's also loved by non-Star Wars fans mostly because of Grogu the first couple seasons.
Yeah.
I think a lot of non-Star Wars fans fell in love with this universe and this fantasy and a very cute baby.
And I got into it late, so this made a lot of money. This was worth the money. Then you go to Visions. And Visions has kind of a niche audience.
It does. The vision for it.
Is it worth spending money on it?
You know, I would love to see what that looks like. Like, I don't know what they budgeted for, what they had to spend, and what their return on investment was for Visions. But I agree with you. We didn't need Visions. I think it's great from a creativity
But how many Star Wars fans like that anime aspect that
they do
enhanced by it? The Pokemon
I think the biggest benefit that Visions 1 and 2 provided is exposure to some really unique and creative studios out there that wouldn't have got that opportunity otherwise.
I think that was the goal, yeah. But I don't know if that actually happened.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Like worked? And I'm curious about that because when you look at ROI, at this point in the streaming age, how do you gauge that? How many people have a years-long subscription to Disney Plus and then hear that Mandalorian came out or Visions came out and you get these so many more subscriptions? I don't know how they track that. So how do you track ROI when it's not a box office score like we were talking about with Indiana Jones? And that's just my hypothetical question. We don't have to get into this. But, Micah, back to Disney and Marvel.
That's actually a really good point.
Thank you.
Obi-Wan Kenobi series, I think, was definitely worth the money. I'm sure
a lot of fans didn't, though.
Ooh, I would disagree with you there.
Really?
I did.
Yeah.
But I thought it was okay. I thought a lot of fans. I didn't see too many
when
complaints.
Micah says okay, by the way, it means it's good. All different spectrums of good, okay, great, fantastic. Micah's okay is like a Chiefs fan wearing a Broncos polo and not telling. I don't know where I'm going. Anyway, Micah, continue, please.
Well, maybe it wasn't worth the money. I think it helped enhance Star Wars, but maybe it wasn't worth the money. The Book of Boba Fett, definitely not worth the money.
Yeah,
nobody cared about that.
Okay, first of all, Boba Fett rode a Rancor, and I think that money was worth it in those last two episodes of The Mandalorian. Well, sorry, Book of Boba Fett. It was The Mandalorian.
But I think it overall, you would have to call it a swing and a miss.
It was. And because they're not going to continue with season two, and I think that is perfectly okay. I don't mind that. It was okay. It was an okay series. Some episodes were fantastic. Others were not so much. If you look at the perspective of the Star Wars universe, I think it propelled it forward. You get to see Luke. You get to see Ahsoka. You get to see Grogu and how he winds up back with Mando. You get to see Mando again. Boba Fett, we're so excited he lived somehow miraculously from the Sarlacc and then becomes the Boba Fett that is now. And how great it was to see Temuera Morrison back on screen. It was not an entirely compelling story.
But Andor was.
We got Cad Bane live action, which to me it was worth every penny. We got Boba riding a Rancor, which was fantastic. We got the connections, and I was telling somebody the other day, The Mandalorian, I see it more as a chapter book of Mando. Oh, okay, we have Mando. Oh, Boba Fett. Okay, interesting. Oh, Mando again. Maybe we have a Bo-Katan. Maybe we have somebody else from that Mandoverse that could have a chapter.
Have them all as a part of one series. Yeah. Because right now you're wasting money on
series. It's early. But we all know that there's a Mandoverse movie coming from Dave Filoni in 2025.
But is it worth...
Well, but will we see it, though? Yeah. I mean, with
will
this
we see
announcement...
It? And is it worth spending all this money? Now, I think it was worth spending money on Andor, even though I'd seen some polarization. Scott,
you didn't
see any.
No, and I thought more about this, Mike, and I'm going to give you credit, because there were people that felt like it wasn't Star Wars because it wasn't
Jedi and lightsabers.
It wasn't Jedi and it wasn't lightsabers and everything else. But in reality, I think it was some of the best Star Wars that we've seen.
Mm-hmm. And it's my favorite Star Wars.
Bar none. We got a lot of wins for Star Wars, some minuses. What about Marvel and what cuts might be coming there? I will say the Marvel movie that's coming out with Captain Marvel and the other two that have had TV shows.
Well, that's already.
I know. It looks silly and ridiculous. But what other Marvel projects are out there that might be getting the chopping block, and what's been doing so poorly?
I think there are probably some series, probably past 2025, maybe some stuff that they haven't announced yet that's being cut. Maybe they're cutting some budgets right now. They're saying, okay, we allotted $300 million. We're going to go $275 million.
Yeah,
because
but Shang-Chi was supposed to have a sequel, and from what I gleaned on Twitter the other day, and again, this is not confirmed. This is just what I saw. I didn't know there was a part two, not a part two, but supposed to be a second movie, but that's scrapped now. And that was one of my favorites that have come out since Endgame.
Well, I don't know if that one was really popular. I found it to be really entertaining and really funny.
Really great. Wong.
Yeah.
And the characters.
Yeah, I thought it was a really good movie. Top 10, I think. I don't know. I'll have to reevaluate.
It was unique and it was good and it was a story and characters we haven't seen before, minus Wong.
But is he popular enough?
Well, I think he was until, in my opinion, they ruined him in She-Hulk.
You know, and I'm looking this up. You know, Shang-Chi, it grossed over $432 million worldwide, and it was the ninth highest grossing film of 2021. So you think about the Marvel content that's available that probably would be well received. I think that's one of them. And Mike, I think that's kind of what you're saying. Some of the other stuff isn't. And it's like, you know, we're seeing the Marvels, which is what you were talking about in that regard. And it probably is not. I feel like that the Marvels is going to have a similar impact to what we just saw from Indiana Jones.
So why are the good things getting scrapped? If Shang-Chi got 430 plus million, why are we getting, to me, my opinion, the nonsense stories of the Marvels?
But we don't know that.
It's possible they're trying to make him into a series. We don't know. I think right now they probably have the series that they have and they're going, okay, these are the certain things we're going to do. These are the things that we're going to combine. These are the things that we're going to turn into shows. These that we're going to maybe cut an eight episode series, and we're going to make it six episodes. Well, I mean, they're probably going to cut everywhere.
How much did the actor who played Kang and his nefarious activities that cost him his role is going to change, and that might be a reason for some of the cuts too.
As of last week, the Kang Dynasty is slated for May 1st, 2026, and Shang-Chi is supposed to come out after that, so it'd be 26 or 27. And again, within the last 2 weeks, everything we're saying so far is that the sequel to Shang-Chi is still on. It's still happening.
Wow.
Good.
We've got a lot. Hopefully you enjoyed this. This is intense and fun, and we're here for you, Nerdians. So to stay on top of all your nerd activity, tune in every week for the Nerd Show, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Nick, Scott, and Micah. Nerdians, you stay nerdy.